Thank you for listening to Christian Challenge at K-State's podcast. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry, follow us on Instagram or visit our website. Hope you enjoy this episode.
Amen. Well, go ahead and pull your Bibles out and we'll get into it. We've been working our way through a series this semester that we're calling Grit. And we're looking at what does it look like to grow in perseverance, resilience, and tenacity. And we're leaning into this because of what we see as a growing trend on campus and in culture, mental health issues, anxiety, quick escapism, and just overall a less resilient culture. And maybe you feel that. Maybe you feel that for yourself. Maybe you feel that for your friends or what you see around you. So last week we started looking at the book of Daniel, and he is very gritty. He's got a lot of grit in his life. We saw Daniel as a teenager last week and how he was faced with devastating circumstances. And in the midst of so much suffering, pain, disappointment, loss, Daniel's faith in God was uncompromising. It's pretty awesome. He would not cave. He didn't let the Babylonian culture shape him or define him. He stood his ground. And God honored Daniel's faith. And in the end, God was glorified. So tonight, we're looking at Daniel chapter 6. So open there. And as we get started, I want to do something just a little bit different as we get started. So the Bible is really clear a couple different places that through the preaching of God's word, something special happens. Like God speaks through his word and through the preaching of his word. And that's what we're about to do tonight, to read his word and to look at it and meditate on it together. So I want to just pause. And I think it's easy this time of the semester to feel like you're just kind of going through the motions, to feel like just one day is stacking on another day and one week on another week, and it's just all kind of feeling the same. And I think we could fall into that tonight and just kind of go through another challenge and be on our way. And so I'd love for us just to pause and to pray. So would you just close your eyes, and if you're comfortable, open your hands just on your lap to the Lord. And I'd love you to just turn your attention to God's presence right now. And I'd love you to ask God, just say, God, would you speak to me tonight as we look into your word? Let me pray. Lord, we want to pause. We want to turn our attention to you. We don't just want to go through the motions. God, we want our hearts to be good soil. We want to be soft-hearted. And so I pray over these moments, Lord, that the preaching of your word would be so powerful. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak to us and to convict us, to work in our midst, and show us what is true and right. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Let's look at verse 1 of chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Okay, let's pause right there. Like I said, last week we looked at Daniel as a teenager. And now we flipped ahead to Daniel 6, and Daniel's really amazing as a character and a book. A lot of time has passed, and the names are different. If you notice now, it's Darius, not Nebuchadnezzar. And really, what's happened is about 70 years has passed. So Daniel is pushing 90 years old. He's in his 80s, and we find him serving in the same role that he was in. A lot has happened. Darius is this character. He's the king of Persia. So we have a new empire that has taken over the Babylonians. And so just while Daniel's doing his thing, a nation has totally fallen and a new one has taken over. The word satrap here is kind of an interesting word. It doesn't feel like English. I don't think it is. But it's basically along the lines of like governor or leader. Think of like a mayor or something like that. And so we can see right away Daniel is excellent in what he's doing because he's in a new empire. He's like leading the leaders, even in his old age. We'll look at that soon. But one thing we can find here just from Daniel's life as these nations rise and fall is that God is completely sovereign over the nations. God's plan, God's purpose, and even God's people are unwavering as there's chaos among the nations. So I love America. I've become increasingly patriotic in my life. I grew up overseas and I was kind of a punk and thought I knew a lot better. And so when I came to America, patriotism seemed a little off to me, but I've come to my senses. America's a great country, and I love some of the things we stand for as a nation. I love freedom and justice, free speech. I love human rights and how as a country we've kind of rallied around some of those ideas. And like I said, I grew up in the third world, so I've been in a lot of different countries where those things aren't normal. And man, let me tell you, America is worth fighting for, and you're going to get to vote really soon, and I think that's really important. But what we see in Daniel, there very well may come a day when America doesn't exist. And God's kingdom and God's people will prevail. It doesn't really matter to God. Like, I think he cares about justice. He cares about freedom. But this nation is not the kingdom of God. And we see Daniel just prevailing through the rise and fall of these nations. Okay, let's keep reading in chapter 6, verse 3. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. That's crazy. Then the high officials and satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground or complaint or any fault because he was faithful. And no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to make a sentence. Last week we did an equation. Tonight we're going to make a sentence. And so if you're like a English nerd, you might like this. I'm using some ly adverbs, trying to make the sentence good. So our first idea here is that grit is faithfully excellent. And we see that in this section about Daniel. It says Daniel distinguishes himself in verse 3, that he had an excellent spirit in him. And what this means is that Daniel did his work with excellence and positivity, and he put all of himself into what he was doing. This reminds me of Colossians 3:23 that says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men." This is even more impressive considering Daniel's age and how long he had been serving different kings in this role. I mean, what 87-year-old do you think of as like totally distinguishing himself above every other person in their craft? But that was Daniel. He was faithfully excellent. He had such integrity. In this paragraph, we find like his enemies are trying to find anything that they can find about his life, and they can't find a thing. And at the end, you see them just kind of throwing their hands up in the air, and they're like, "Well, he does love God a lot, so let's try and get him on that." This reminds me of 1 Peter 2, where it says, "Keep your conduct among the Gentiles," which is like a different way that Peter would talk about non-believers. "Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." So think with me about this. What would it be like if that was our reputation at Christian Challenge on K-State's campus? In the dorms, in the Greek houses, in your major? What if people said that about Challenge, if they said, man, I can't think of anything to hold against these students. They're just so faithful. But they do love Jesus a lot. Isn't that a great reputation that Daniel has? And there's actually something I want to just speak into specifically that I see happening like in our group. And I've seen it for years. Sometimes students will start like being really involved in Challenge and maybe start leading and giving their time in different parts of Challenge. And then I hear like their motivation for school just really declines. And I think this is a really relevant time in the semester to bring this up because pretty much everybody at K-State is kind of done, right? Just ready to be done. And Thanksgiving can't come soon enough, right? But really, like right now, this time of the semester, this is when believers should stand out at K-State. This is where your integrity, your excellence, your faithfulness, your professors should be like, whoa, what is with that guy? He just is in my office hours. He's really wanting to learn the material. Faithfully excellent. And I want to just say kind of on behalf of the Challenge staff, like we don't want your participation in Christian Challenge to hurt your witness on campus because you're not faithful where God has you as a student. So here's a good question for each of us, whether we're students or not. What is your reputation among non-believers? Maybe coworkers, maybe neighbors, people you live with. What is your reputation among non-believers? What's the word on the street about your character, about your faithfulness, your excellence? And are you representing Christ in this way? What kind of group partner are you? Like we all know the group partner that doesn't do anything, right? That hardly responds to the text messaging or the emails and just kind of like, is that guy even in our group, right? What kind of group partner are you? What kind of roommate are you? This is the classic college student battle. Like, is she going to do her dishes or not? Faithfully excellent. That's what grit does. And I would just say, man, look for a way to serve. Look for a way to go above and beyond the standard that is normal on campus. How could you bless the people around your life with excellence and faithfulness? And Daniel stood out so much, the king was like, I want to put you in charge of everything. That'd be so cool if that was our reputation on campus. Grit is faithfully excellent. Okay, let's keep reading in verse 6. It says, then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps and the counselors and the governors, are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. A few things here before we keep reading. You can see the plot and the scheme, like you can kind of see it forming. And if you've seen the VeggieTales version of this, you kind of know what they're going for here. Like they know he prays, and so they're trying to make a law to catch him in his prayer. But one thing that stood out to me just as I was thinking about this is like, how arrogant do you have to be to think, yeah, I should be God of the month? That's basically what Darius did. It sounded good to him. He's like, sure. Nobody should pray to any other god but me. I'll just be the god of the month this month. And man, his theology, Theology was not a strength for Darius. Any time that you think you can be God, you are deluded, you are not stable. I want you to put a pin in this right here. Darius has bad theology, because it's really cool. At the end of the chapter, we're going to come back to that and just see the effects of grit. But this is a theme of Daniel. It's actually kind of comical. Every chapter in Daniel, just about, there's a king who is trying to make himself God. And that's just the way that we work. This is common for humanity. We get power, and then we get proud, and then we think that we are God. Leads us to really bad, self-centered thinking. And the Bible teaches us that, pride sets itself up against God, and then God is opposed to the proud. Let's keep reading in verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Verse 10 is awesome, and we're going to spend a lot of time in verse 10, but let's keep reading. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you've signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel, and he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. I love what verse 10 says. Let's look at that for a minute here. Daniel knew about the law. There's a new law that you'll get thrown into the lion's den if you pray to any other god. And the first thing he does is he prays. And he does it with the windows open. And he does it three times. And I love the last part that just says, it's just like he always did it. So what we're going to find here is grit is not only faithfully excellent, grit is tenaciously devoted. Tenaciously devoted. Daniel has that can't stop, won't stop mindset. This man is going to pray. He doesn't care what the law is. Let me define devotion for you by showing you where it shows up in the New Testament. In Acts 2:42. This verse is talking about the new church. So the church forms in Acts chapter 2. Lots of people hear the gospel and believe and are baptized, and then they start doing life together as the church. And this is what it says about their community. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And this verse is actually where we get our vision for life groups. We want our life groups to be devoted to these same things. The Greek word here for devotion is persisting in a direction in spite of difficulties, prevailing strength. And that is exactly Daniel. He is tenaciously devoted. He persists in spite of difficulties. His life is in the balance. They made a specific law against praying. The first thing Daniel did was pray. He wouldn't let anything stop his devotion and his connection with God. And remember, Daniel is 90 years old, or about 90. He's seen a lot of things in his life. He's been through a lot. Empires rise and fall. He just keeps praying. And it's just what he does. And you can see this in older people. I think sometimes it gets a bad rap. You know, we've got the phrase, like, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But there's actually something that's really, like, awesome about older people. They're just not interested in the new ideas or the new technology, but they have this way of living. And if they're like Daniel and their like hearts are soft and they're connected to God, the older a person gets, as they continue to be connected to God, it's this beautiful thing. It's this devotion. Maybe you've got someone in your family like that who's just been devoted to prayer. And at 90 years old, it's just a beautiful thing. Notice Daniel, verse 10, just lays out his regular practice. It's so cool. Three times a day, open the window toward Jerusalem, down on his knees and giving thanks to God. And I love the details. I love imagining and envisioning this old, wise man, this faithful and excellent man who loves God with all of his heart, even though he's lived through so much suffering. I love thinking about him slowly getting down on his knees three times a day, just committed, calming his busy mind, and leaning into the real presence of God. This moment, it reveals so much about Daniel, but it shows us what he believes. Daniel believes deep down that God is real. He's seen so much disappointment, he could easily not believe that. He believes deep down that God is listening to him. He believes that God cares about him. He believes that God is powerful, even more powerful than these kings that he's seen and served under. And he believes that God is a God of action. And so out of his faith comes prayer, tenacious prayer. He cannot be stopped. He's a model believer for us. He's the model Israelite. And so when things get uncertain for Daniel, his resolve gets more powerful. I remember when I was in college, I lived in the dorms for all 4 years. I was an RA for two and a half years in Moore Hall. And man, those were good years, really good years. I learned so much in those years. But that environment was negative toward my faith. Like, I remember feeling really alone on my staff team, and everybody knew I was a Christian, and it wasn't like, I think maybe one other girl was kind of nominally a believer on my team. And just the dorms, like, there can be stuff that goes on. I'm sure some of you are living there right now. And as an RA, you kind of encounter all those things. So you're like, going about your business, and then like someone's door like opens and it sounds like duct tape is being ripped off. And you know, as an RA, you're like, okay, I need to look into that, right? Like, something's going on in that room. Why are they duct taping all the cracks in their door? And you know, I've been on rounds as a student. I remember seeing all kinds of things. You find things broken because people trash things when they're drunk. You find vomit all over the place, and it's just your job. It's like, this is my job to take care of all of this. And something that I started doing, because my heart was just really getting bitter, is I started, every time I went on rounds, so I'd be on duty like Wednesday nights and then on the weekends sometimes. So every time I'd go on rounds, I would just prayer walk. And I would just like start to think about each person who lived there as an image of God. And just asking God, like, God, I know I can't touch these people's lives, but I know you're working in their life. And I just would start praying for the kingdom of God to move in this dark place that I was living. And I needed that practice. That was so crucial for me to keep vision for why I was there and to not just get so frustrated and angry with what I ran into as an RA. Devotion is what we have to do. It's what grit does. You lean into devotion. You're tenacious in it. So what does your devotion look like? I think it's just so easy to let like the littlest resistance stop us from prayer and reading the scriptures. Like, it could be just the snooze button on your phone. You're just like hammering that thing. It could be just, yeah, the allure of staying in bed. I know right now, like, it's dark a lot later, and it's just harder to get out of bed. It could also be like stress or busyness. Maybe you're just feeling overwhelmed, and so then you just kind of brush aside time in the Word or prayer. You're just like, get up, and I have to get things done. Sometimes it's just even the fact that like when we're trying to read the Scriptures, it's like one of the hardest things that we try to read, right? I mean, think about it. When else in your life are you reading a document that's like over 1,000 years old and translated from another language? It's a little different than ESPN, right? It's hard. It's hard to understand it. There's a lot of context, a lot of new words. I know for me, like just part of my story, I didn't grow up loving reading. I just grew up outside. I was always outside playing sports, or I was playing video games, and I just didn't want to read. And I got away with that for a long time. You can kind of not love reading and make it a long way. And my major in college didn't really push me to read. I was like a math ed major. And it took me a long time to like learn how to love reading Scripture. And so I would just guess that there's quite a few of you that are on that journey. Like you kind of know you're supposed to love reading the Bible, but most of the time it's a challenge and you're not connecting and the words kind of just don't make a lot of sense to you. I want to just implore you, like keep at it. Be tenacious in your devotion. Encourage each other. Spur each other on in that. One thing that gets me excited as I think about our Scripture is that it's not changing. So what that means is right now you're in, you know, your late teens, early 20s. If you keep reading this book, you are going to be really good at it when you're in your 90s. I'm doing a Bible reading plan. I'm doing it with like three other guys at Challenge that I get time with. And we are reading the Bible in a year. And so we're reading three different places every morning. We're texting each other about what we're getting out of it. And let me tell you, if I was tenacious in that practice, I would read through this book so many times. I would know it like the back of my hand. And that's just keep at it. Don't give up. Try to be a better reader of Scripture. And if you keep at it, God is going to take something that maybe right now feels like a duty, and he's going to turn it into a delight. And I just want to challenge us right now as we think about our devotion. Do we have grit in our devotion? Daniel, like his life was threatened. And so just think about that. If someone came into your room and put a gun to your head and said, are you going to read the word or not? What are you going to do? Daniel got on his knees and he said, I'm going to pray. He was tenacious. Something I want to say also, I want to read from Colossians 3:16, and I want to bring in the communal aspect of this. So we don't really see this in Daniel 6, but Daniel definitely had community, and we see it in the New Testament. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And this is a plural you in the Greek. He's writing to a church. So it'd be like me telling us at Challenge, hey, Challenge, let the word of Christ dwell among us and within us richly. Is this happening in your friend group, in your life group? Are you meditating on the word together? Is it dwelling richly among you? I remember when I first started coming around Challenge, I was a freshman and I was living with a junior who was a leader in Challenge. My sister had got me this roommate and I'm in the dorms with this leader and he starts taking me just to his friend group. Like, he's like kind of pulling me along. And like I said, I grew up overseas, so when I came to K-State, I knew nobody. Like, I didn't know this guy before my sister introduced me to him. And so he's pulling me to all these friend groups, and I'm finding myself in living rooms of houses of, like, Challenge leaders. And I'm just freshman dude. And I remember, like, sitting in the corner a lot of these times, just feeling like an outsider, and just wondering, like, is God going to provide friends for me? And these groups of Challenge leaders, like, they weren't all leading, but man, they were just like such genuine people. And I wasn't really walking with God. I knew how to fake it, but I remember sitting and just listening to them. And we would like, you know, eat pizza and watch movies, but like it almost always would turn into we're sitting in a circle in the living room and somebody pulls a guitar out and we start singing. And then we would like request like, hey, let's do this song. And so, you know, they'd pull out the chord chart and everything and we'd just try. And then they would start praying. And they knew each other's lives. And so they'd pray for like each other's families, or they'd pray for things that people were going through. They'd pray for like people they were trying to reach out to. And this was like a foreign thing to me. Like my friend group in high school was really sarcastic and really proud and like just punks. And so we just make fun of each other. That's kind of what we did. And so I'm sitting around this like genuine group of people, and I just knew, man, I want to know God with these people. It changed my life. So I just want to ask you, what does your devotion look like? Where are you at with this? How can you make a commitment to grow in your devotion right where you're at? And then think about your friend group, like you're a part of a life group or a friend group. What is one thing that you can initiate that would kind of move your friend group to a place of greater devotion to God? What's a question you could ask? What's a time of like worship and prayer that you could initiate? Okay, let's keep reading. Back to Daniel, verse 16. We're going to read through the chapter. Here we go. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. Just imagine 87-year-old Daniel being thrown into a pit. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. You can see Darius is torn up about this. He loves and respects Daniel, and especially you can see that he respects Daniel's faith, and he knows about Daniel's God. And there's kind of a moment here where he's like having faith. I mean, what 87-year-old stands any kind of chance being thrown into a den of lions? But Darius, he says, "May your God deliver you." It's pretty cool. Let's keep reading in 19. Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. You can see his faith. Like he believes something could have happened. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God." It's interesting. It's changing. "Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, this is the only time Daniel speaks in chapter 6. And here's what he says. "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before you, before him, and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. That's pretty gruesome. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces.
Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. It's pretty awesome. And here's how I want to finish our sentence. Grit is not only faithfully excellent, it's not only tenaciously devoted, but it is abandonedly bold. And I want to define that. Abandon means having a complete lack of restraint, uninhibited. So we're talking about uninhibited boldness. And we see this boldness in Daniel multiple times in the chapter and throughout this book. He never shrunk back in the face of a great threat. We don't see Daniel trying to scramble to change the law or to convince the king to change the law. In verse 22, when Daniel speaks for the first time, we've heard his enemies conspiring. They have lots of dialogue, and they keep talking about how they're going to get him. We've heard the king speaking. He's distressed and in anguish, and he's starting to have faith. He's believing. But now we hear Daniel speak, and he boldly gives glory to God. He was so bold with his life on the line. He prayed with the window open, knowing what they were doing. He reminds me of John and Peter, the disciples, the apostles, when they were before the Sanhedrin. This is in Acts 4, 19 and 20. And the context of this is they were preaching the gospel. The church had exploded. And so they would go into the temple, Peter and John and the other disciples, and they would proclaim that Jesus is the only Savior. And the Sanhedrin, the rulers of the day, brought them in and they beat them and they threatened them. And here's what they say. "But Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard.'" The NIV says, "We cannot help but speak of what we've seen and heard." I love that, the boldness. Should I obey God or you? You be the judge. Daniel was just like this. He's saying, "Hey, you can kill me if you want to. My faith in God is who I am. I know no other way." Okay, look again with me at verses 26 and 27, the ending there. This is so cool. Remember, I told you to put a pin in it that Darius had bad theology. And just look at what grit does. Bold grit and faith. How did Darius learn any of this about God? Daniel told him. And he starts like spouting truth. He starts saying like, "I'm going to make a new decree. And it's not that you have to pray to me. I'm not the God of the month anymore." He's like, no, I love the nations are in view here. He writes to all the nations and languages and peoples. And he's like, listen, you need to tremble and fear before God, the God of Daniel. And then it's just truth after truth. He's like, he's the living God. His kingdom endures forever. It'll never be destroyed. His dominion shall be to the end. And then he delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders. All of a sudden, Darius becomes a theologian. And it's because of grit. It's because of the bold proclamation of Daniel. It's pretty amazing. And we've got to be bold. You know, the people in our world today on campus, there's a lot of just like out there beliefs that people have, things that people think about God. How are they going to know what good theology is? How are they going to know what's true? Someone is going to have to tell them. You're going to have to be bold. You're going to have to stand up and say, no, that's not right. So I want to ask you, do you shrink back from boldness for Christ? Is your faith obvious to the people that you're living around, that you're doing class with? Do they know you're a Christian? I mean, would the people that are around your life know that you're following Christ other than the shirts that you wear? Does your relationship with God impact how you treat people, how you think about people? Okay, let's look at our sentence for tonight. Grit is faithfully excellent, tenaciously devoted, and abandonedly bold. So I want to ask you, which of these is the biggest area of growth for you? What do you need to hear? Lean into that. What is God saying to you about your own life right now? Maybe it's faithful excellence. So I just want to lean into that. Is there something that you need to like change about your practice? Do you need to be excellent at something? Maybe it's your devotion. Do you have that can't stop, won't stop kind of mentality? Maybe you need to commit to read the scripture in a different way and do it with someone in community and have accountability and not just say, yeah, I'm like reading in John and then maybe read like once or twice a week. But you can always say that when someone asks you about it. But no, like be committed and devoted. Like I'm not gonna waste another day without being in the Word. Maybe you can initiate something with your friends, like prayer walk on your way to class together. Or maybe you need to grow in your boldness. Maybe God's brought people around your life and they're coming to mind right now and you're thinking, I need to be more bold. I need to share my faith. I need to like open up my life to people. We talked briefly about the things Daniel believed that inspired his devotion. Maybe there's something deep down you need to like believe that God hears your prayers, that he's present and he cares about you, that he's powerful and he wants to act on your behalf. I'm going to invite the band up, but here's how I want to end. We're going to look at a different part of Scripture. Daniel is pretty amazing. The book itself, but also Daniel, the character. In fact, he's like one of the characters in the Old Testament with almost no character flaws. I don't think there's a time in Daniel where we see him really fail. And that's very unique. In the Old Testament, one of the main themes of the Old Testament is that these people are not the Savior. And so there's a lot of flawed people in the Old Testament. And that really connects because that's just real. But Daniel is not like that. But also, there's this moment here where Daniel points us to our need for Jesus. And here's how I want to just end tonight, just meditating on that moment. And it's the moment when 80-plus-year-old Daniel's thrown into the lion's den. And there is no chance. He has no chance on his own. He is in desperate need of a Savior. And I want to read Psalm 40. It makes me think of Daniel being thrown into the pit. Here's what Psalm 40 said. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. And so just like Daniel, you and I are in desperate need of Jesus. We're in need of a miracle. We're in need of salvation. Our lives are like being in this pit of destruction from Psalm 40. We're in the miry bog, but in our case, it's our own sin. And Jesus is this amazing fulfillment. Like Jesus came to earth and he didn't just like pull us out of the miry bog. He got in it. He got in our mess. And he let the miry bog cover him and he became the solid rock that we can stand on. Jesus is the rock. He's the only hope we have. And so one thing, as we've been thinking about this grit series, it could easily come across as like, we're just telling you, do better. And we just don't want to do that. So even as we've looked at Daniel, and he's this like immaculate, perfect Israelite, has faith through his whole life, stares death in the face multiple times. I mean, it's inspiring, but I also just want us to come back to our need for Christ. And I love the last verse. Nikki put that verse back up there. The last verse in verse 3, that as salvation connects with us, as we are put on the solid rock that is Jesus, all of a sudden we become natural evangelists and our lives start to just like proclaim the power and the beauty and the goodness of the gospel. And we have a new song and we're just walking around campus like talking about how good Jesus is, and it just flows out of us. When we're standing on the rock that is Christ, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Man, imagine what campus would be like if we had grit like that, if we were just moved by the gospel. So let's pray as we worship. God, we just thank you for Daniel's life. We thank you for the picture of grit and what it looks like to be devoted, to be excellent, to be bold. And Lord, I just pray for each person in this room. Lord, I pray that your gospel would so deeply impact us that we would just want to give our whole life to you and live our life for your name, God, among the nations. And just like in Daniel, when all the nations heard the truth about who you were, Lord, we want our lives to count for that. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.